No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on a magnificent Monday edition of the Yard, lots to talk about. We got an official visit weekend. We got a recap. We got some more baseball commitment news. There's just a lot going on right now. You would think, hey, there's no games being played. Maybe things will slow down for our media folks. You're wrong. There really is no offseason anymore. Really not. And hey, I'm not complaining. It's good for us, good for you guys. But what's happening on the baseball side has really, 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 really stimulated some exuberance about this program. I'm scheduled to meet and have a visit with Coach O'Connor soon. And looking forward to that. Have a chance to go meet with the rest of the staff. And, that'll be a good thing. And we'll have that over at jeanspage.com. We'll even make it free. How about that? Make the whole thing free. And we're going to talk more about baseball. Like, you know what I'm saying? And this is not a shot at anybody. Please don't get me wrong. But, all the pre-hiring talk, all that's been done. I want to talk baseball. And there's other questions have to be asked, too. You know, we asked a lot of those during the post-ceremony press conference. You know, why was Justin Parker the right fit and that sort of stuff. But also got an interesting interview that we'll post tomorrow. I won't tell you who with. It'll be a bit of a surprise, but it's the ghost of Brian O'Connor past. How about that? That'll be your clue. So looking forward to all of that. Top 10 list. We've obviously had some folks that have passed away here as of late that have been of extreme significance to American music. Yeah, we did Sly and the Family Stone last week. We'll do Brian Wilson, the Beach Boys today. Had many of you hit me up about that. It's like, hey, they thought I would slide in there on Friday. I had already made a promise to somebody else to do that Gavin Adcock list, and I wanted to make sure that I maintained that promise. I already had to push it today due to the death of Sly Stone, and so I like to keep my promises to people that I love, and I did. So there you go. So we'll talk about a little bit of Brian Wilson stuff today. And a musical genius, no doubt about it. One thing I will tell you, too, is I'm sick of the rain. I am. I'm tired of the rain. I'm tired of having to get out in the yard and do things that aren't riding-related. I'm a delicate little flower. But, all this rain, man, the ground is super saturated. We were without power yesterday for 7 hours. In the middle of all of this stuff, we had a new baseball commitment. We had all these official visitors. And so having to use the hotspot, and thankfully the laptop was fully charged, I was able to kind of navigate through that in the dark. Nothing stops the show, right? But here we are. But, yesterday in Starkville, we had – I live out in the sticks. I'm happy to live in the sticks. I don't have a lot of neighbors around me. And the ones I do are kind of through the woods, and I kind of like that. But nevertheless, we had a tree that fell yesterday that took out like the not just the power line, but took out the pole too. And so it was 7 hours, man. We were one of the last ones to get the power back up. And listen, I want to commend all of those men with Four County that had to go out there and work on Father's Day. I know there were a lot of things you would rather do than go out and work to restore our power. I do. And it does get inconvenient. It does. I mean, obviously, we're very reliant on that. I mean, the Wi-Fi is down and Netflix down. I mean, all the creature comforts of life are impacted when you don't have power. And so I'm very appreciative of those men. And I had to drive the town just to kind of let my phone charge, not to mention I needed a little air conditioning. But my inconvenience pales in comparison to those men who I'm sure would have much preferred to have been home with their families and their children being celebrated for Father's Day. I know you get a little overtime pay and that sort of stuff, but I'm very appreciative to those people. Very, very appreciative. And we don't always talk about that. You know, we just kind of take it for granted. You know, the power is going to be on when we flick the switch. Power is going to be on the power of the refrigerator and the air conditioning. It's easy to take that stuff for granted. But when you lose it for a little bit, you begin to appreciate those people that make it possible. So to all the fine people at Four County, thank you for getting our power back on yesterday. I know for some people they weren't out for very long, but we were on the farther end of it. And but anyway, we got the job done, and so did they. And me and the bride were able to sleep in a cool room last night. And that's one of those things, too, that we often take for granted living in Southern United States this time of year. Heat index is supposed to be up around 100 this week, and so it wasn't great. Wasn't great not having some air conditioning most of the day yesterday. But it's not their fault. It's one of those things that happen. But again, it kind of goes back to the ground kind of being super saturated, you know. There's a lot of things that are happening. But it seems like it's been a wet year. Maybe it hadn't been, but it seems that way. It seems like every weekend during baseball season we had some type of schedule adjustment due to rain and due to weather. And so hopefully it doesn't rain on your parade this summer. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company, and they love us back. Part of the Eat With Us group that has served the Golden Triangle for so many years. You've had your rehearsal dinners. You've had your celebratory dinners. When you come to town and take your college kid out to dinner, chances are you use one of the Eat With Us groups as your backdrop and nourishment for that event. Bulldog Burger Company, clearly a family and fan favorite here in Starkville. That was the first one. Of course, they've opened two others. Of course, University Drive here in Starkville, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. And you never know, Bulldog Burger Company may be coming to you at some point. We love it, man. We do. Get those spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. But the reason you go is you put your feet under their table, let them take care of everything else, and have one of those delicious restaurant-quality hamburgers. And you know what, Steve? Maybe the rest of the family is feeling a burger, but I'm not. You can have that BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. The Sloppy Joe sliders. The sweet heat chicken sandwiches. So many great options to choose from. They've got to care for what ails you at Bulldog Burger Company. So if you're on the way to town or in town, Bulldog Burger Company is the place to be. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. All right, several visitors this weekend. Actually, we had 17. We got one that we're still kind of, you know, figuring out how to handle. But nevertheless, I believe we have interviewed everybody but one of the visitors. I think that's right. I think we've gotten everybody but Danny Beal, and he hadn't done much media. I've had some correspondence with his coach. I reached out to him via text. That's kind of how it is sometimes. But Danny Beal, the highest-rated guy that visited this weekend, I'm told the visit went well. He is an interior defensive lineman. He is set to visit Missouri this weekend and will then begin to kind of make a decision. Mississippi State is in it for sure. Cherry Valley, Arkansas. Missouri's in it. Arkansas's in it. And it's so difficult to go into the natural state and beat Arkansas for a player they want. I was just thinking about when Auburn did that, you know, several years ago. I've been doing this a long time. I think Auburn went in there and got the best two players in the state that year. It's way back when Houston Nutt was there. But, Danny Beal, very good player, would be a great addition. We'd like to be able to talk to him, but so far we haven't been able to do so. Kayvon, and I always mispronounce this. We're just going to call him Kayvon, but it's Conciaro out of Houston County High School. He's set to take a visit this weekend, and then we'll make a decision on July 11th. Mississippi State is very much in the mix here. As you guys know, we got Bull Mitchell and Ricky Johnson out of Houston County. Coach Bump's done a great job with that coaching staff. I remember speaking to the coach up there about Ricky and Bull, and he made the comment last year. He goes, you know, hey, I got two more next year. Let me give Bump a call, you know. And so maybe we've developed a little pipeline there in Warner Robins, Georgia. Super cool thing. All right, Cottrell Webb, had opportunity to communicate with him yesterday. Headed to Florida State this weekend. He is an edge, 6'3", 235. Kind of has a longer, expansive reach than I guess some people that maybe his stature normally do. Kid's got over 30 offers. The ranking is not commensurate, I think, with his tape or his offer sheet. And again, he'll head to Florida State this week and then get ready to make a decision shortly thereafter. I don't think it's a scenario where we lead right now. I think we're in it. I think if he has a great visit to Florida State, I think that could be end up where he ends up. We'll see how things go. But again, State in it, waiting out that visit. Dalton Toothman, he's a guy that we have been on for a long time. And we firmly believe this is down between Mississippi State and Auburn. I know some other people have suggested otherwise. That's just not at all what we have heard. Ole Miss, I know that has done their best to kind of stay in the thing here. But, guys, it's really going to boil down to State and Auburn. And, you know, we'll see how things go. But he's taken in the visit, had a good visit. I won't say State leads. I think it's still neck and neck between State and Auburn. And actually, you know, geographically, it's just about the same length, just about, to get to Auburn from Ocean Springs than it is to get to Starke Bowl. And so that's not really a factor. People say, well, you want guys to stay in State. You know, well, you know, the gas mileage is going to be about the same between the two. So his family will have the opportunity to go see him pretty much with the same amount of energy and effort. But I feel good about where State stands. I'm just not quite ready to make the call on this one just yet. Darrell Rivers spoke with him. He's headed to Tennessee this weekend, and then he will begin to kind of figure some things out too. I firmly believe this is between Georgia Tech, Mississippi State, and Tennessee. I think he'll go see Tennessee, and then we'll see how things go. Darrell is already like 6'5", 275. He's listed as an edge. He's really more of a five tech, and you got to think once he gets in a college weight room, he's going to be 295, 300 pounds. Probably going to be a tackle. We've already broached that topic with him about, hey, we think you could be a five tech, or you may just kind of bulk up and slide inside. It just kind of depends on how he grows. But an impressive looking kid. Mississippi State commitment, Camden Capehart. We actually interviewed him today. Excited about him, you know, of course, he recently took the visit to Florida State and then kind of reaffirmed his decision to Mississippi State. Says, yeah, I'm locked in with the Bulldogs. This is one where we got him early and then some other schools kind of got on him. And I think he felt like maybe he owed it to himself to kind of get out and go see some things because he had committed early. And again, you know, I give him a lot of credit too. He is an undersized, very fleet of foot wide receiver that needs to be in a pass-happy scheme. You're worried a little bit about Texas Tech getting involved with him. But, yeah, he's gone out, made the rounds, and now he feels even better about his decision. And I think he is the guy that Jeff Lebby, Chad Bumpus, Ben Doobie, and those guys are like, hey, you know, you're our guy. You know, and I know that Jeff Lebby can put him in a situation where he can be ultra-competitive. That's the thing. Guys like him, it's about fit. When you're 5'9", 165, 170 pounds, it's about fit. Because you get in the wrong scheme, you're not going to see the field. And the way that State lines it up 4 and 5 wide, you need guys like him with the middle of the field to operate, to kind of pair up with a safety. I mean, he is a walking mismatch. And he is a guy, too, that's got multiple state championships to his credit, too. So you miss a tackle with him, there may be a chance you end up on SportsCenter. Charles Humphrey committed to State over the weekend. No big surprise there. We expected that. We projected that for weeks. And Charles has really been very open throughout the process. Some of you guys remember Mitch White used to work for me. People called him Money Mitch. And then, Mitch got a kid, that sort of stuff, and, had to go get some other work. And Mitch is our buddy. But Mitch kind of passed on Charles Humphrey's name to Mississippi State folks when he was in the eighth grade. So that's how long he's been on our radar. Going into his senior year now, and he's already got 4 years of interaction with Mississippi State. But Charles has made it abundantly clear for the better part of a year that Mississippi State was his favorite school. You know, we really thought he may do it before now. And frankly, had Cody Kennedy still been the offensive line coach, he probably would have already committed. That's not a shot. But he had to kind of get to know Phil Lodeholt. And Phil Lodeholt had to get to know him. Because Kennedy and Lodeholt may not have had the same evaluation. And so, yeah, Humphrey's ready to commit. I love Mississippi State. And all of a sudden, the guy that's been recruiting him for a couple of years is gone. And so Lodeholt had to come in, watch tape, get to know the kid. So that kind of slowed things down a little bit. Now he's officially visited, and now he's officially in the boat. 6'7", 291 pounds. We'll do our best to get up and go see him at some point this year. Very physical kid. Garrett Witherington. Feel like this is down between State and Vanderbilt. I feel like maybe right now, I thought maybe going to the weekend, Vandy might be a slight leader. I think it's the other way around. I think State has gotten some bounce from the visit. And again, this is a guy at 6'5", 270 pounds. I think he could be an interior guy too, or be a five tech. We'll see. Plays at Briarwood Christian over in Birmingham. Good looking kid, for sure. And again, most of these kids too, they're going to take their trips. They are. And he is he's one of those guys that still has a trip or two to make. And he's been all over the place too. He's one of these guys that has made a few trips already. You've been at Georgia Tech, been to Penn State. He'll be at Kentucky and Vanderbilt this week. And I think any of those schools could potentially get him. But I feel like State is in a good spot after the visit heading into these last two. And then I understand, Garrett, it's going to take a little time with family and kind of figure it out. Cameron Brown's a guy that committed to State out of Valdosta, Georgia, during a junior day trip. You always worry about that out-of-state commitment early. You do. Especially guys that are two states away. But it's really not that far to Valdosta, Georgia. I mean, it's not a hop, skip, and a jump, but it's not like it's going to take all day to get there. Cameron told me that he is even more committed than ever, said the food was great, the people were great. And, we'll just see how things kind of progress with him. But 6'1", 170 pound, great length for a corner. It's going to be tough to kind of throw the fade against him because he does have pretty good foot speed. Colby Barrett, safety out of Baylor School in Chattanooga. He's a guy from the very beginning that Mississippi State kind of turned his head. He really likes Matt Barnes. I'd like to see some up-to-date 40 times on him. You look at the film, and he is a rangy guy that has some contact courage, but I'd like to see the foot speed a little bit better, right? And again, I haven't seen measurables from this year and times, but he's like 4.7, 4.8, last numbers that I saw. You know, I think that's something that's got to improve. You guys can get a little bit quicker and faster, but that's just the one thing about him. But of course, he's still locked in with State. And, again, 6'2", 190, could be a dude. We'll see. But I'd like to see some up-to-date times and measurables. Jax Pope out of Buford, Georgia. Really like him a lot. Jake Pope is his older brother, who, of course, was at Alabama and Georgia, now at UNLV. Jack's a guy from Buford High School. They're a football factory. I mean, they're going to have Division I Power 4 signees every single year. Jax looks to be the next one, and I'm told that he has canceled his last visit. I can't remember who he was supposed to visit next week, but as of this morning, we're told he's done taking visits, which means Mississippi State would get the last visit. I feel really good about where State sits with him. I've already put a crystal ball pick in for him. Not sure when he's going to announce, but we are prepared for when he does. Jaden Ross from Ocean Springs, 6'6", 315-pounder, could play right tackle, could be an interior guy, just kind of depend on how things go. Jaden's the guy from the very beginning. I think State was his second offer. I think App State was first, and then Mississippi State. We have felt like he was going to be a Bulldog all along. He surprised everybody when he committed to Sacramento State. And people are like, Steve, what is this about? I said, there is no way that this sticks. No way. No family connection out there. It just didn't make a lot of sense. Basically what happens, they get you on the phone. They gas you up a little bit. And you're like, okay, let's do it. It's easy to be committed to Sacramento State in March. Really not so much later in the process because reality begins to set in. Like we talked about, taking early out-of-state commitments from two and three states away is a dicey proposition. Taking a kid when you're in California out of Mississippi, that kid's never coming. It's not going to happen. Never, ever doubted that Jaden Ross would eventually come back around and pick with a school closer to home. Doesn't have a great offer sheet. Got a lot of offers, mainly from the G5, but I like him. If Phil Lodeholt likes him, I like him too. I think also the Emmanuel Tucker situation probably has some bearing here too. You know, Tucker decommits and then commits to LSU. And it's a really good year for offensive linemen in the state. You know, Hayden Ainsworth announced for Nebraska earlier today. You know, some big guys within the state. And you got to make sure you get your share of them. And I think Ross is a step in that. But listen, I've had some people say, well, you know, Steve, I've seen him. I don't think he's an SEC guy. And these are just fans, you know. Here's the reality of that. Give me the guy that's 6'6", 300 pounds now. And in 2 years, I think Phil Lodeholt turns him into a machine. And that's how I feel. You know, give me the prototypical NFL size lineman and then let our coach go to work rather than maybe the 6'2", 6'3", chip on his shoulder guy that still got something to prove. That guy may play hard, but it's more about measurables than magic. Yeah. I mean, the junkyard dog stuff works for a while. But in this league, you better have big-bodied people that can move others. Luke Hutchinson, we had a story with him earlier today. Hutch is on the move again. He spent last year at Montgomery Bell Academy. He's on his way to Evans Farms High School in Connecticut. Going to visit Texas A&M this weekend, and then we'll begin to kind of get serious about making a decision. We'll see how things go with him. Again, John Cooper. Very close to he and his family. He and his dad played football together in the National Football League. So Luke, a guy that obviously has been on our radar for the better part of 2 years now. I guess we met him last year at camp. But he's a guy obviously that Coop's been on for a while. Offensive lineman Dylan Steen. Of course, you may recall that his older brother made the move from Virginia, Blake Steen, from Virginia to Mississippi State during the spring portal. Dylan was offered during that official visit, and then he comes back this weekend for his own official visit. He and the family are back. Of course, the Steen brothers have kind of been synonymous with good offensive line play at St. Thomas Aquinas down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I've actually been there. Covered some practices for the offense-defense game down at STA. We're expecting good news there. Could have some good news before the end of the evening tonight. But, again, you start thinking about that, all of a sudden you pick up three offensive line commitments in a weekend.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Begin to start feeling a little bit better about your future. Maurice Jones Jr., this is a guy that he came in this weekend. We were expecting him to pull the trigger. We're still kind of waiting to hear what's going on with him, from him. There was some talk that he may commit today. We do expect good news from him. Surprised he didn't announce yesterday. One of the things I learned yesterday, some of these kids had to push their announcement till today, waiting to get their pictures from their visit. And they have that photo shoot. I don't know what that's all about. Father's Day, maybe we were short-staffed. But that's one of those things that, we want to talk about being in a championship standard. That's one of those things. Marshall Smith from Collierville, Tennessee. He is really, really excited. He nearly committed over the weekend. 6'5", 245-pound edge. Probably going to grow into a defensive end. Said that he had given his word to the staff at Memphis that he would at least visit there before he made a decision. He has taken a visit to UNLV and now to Mississippi State. I think there's a good chance that he is a Bulldog sooner rather than later. So I think when you look at the batting average, 17 visitors, you begin to kind of run this thing down here. Again, Dalton Toothman's still kind of up in the air. This could be a scenario. You already have five of these guys committed. We're expecting at least two more. And so I think the batting average is going to be well over 500 for this weekend. And then, of course, we get into the next week, another big group, another 16, 17 visitors. And we'll adjust the list as we kind of go along here. But, I thought it was a good weekend. And, of course, we have not reaped all the benefits from the weekend just yet. Yeah, that's coming. But one of the things that we're seeing kind of in the industry, and I think a lot of it is because, we loved the January official visit weekends, right? Because we needed some things to entertain us, right? Because you're done with football. You're done with the regular season. Maybe you got a bowl game out there. And more times than not, you're done with your bowl practices. You get into your bowl game around New Year's, and then we have all that. And so there was so much intrigue about those official visit weekends. And I think now they moved them up 7 months, and we're kind of seeing around the industry there's not as much intrigue about this. And I think a lot of it, too, is just kind of fan fatigue for the portal. They're like, why am I going to get excited about this guy when he may leave next year? I mean, we're seeing that on the message boards. And so it's something that we're – monitoring, obviously, we're going to give it our full effort all we can, every time we can. But your reaction at times to recruiting information has been a little different. And I think a lot of it is like people are like, I'm just not going to get attached. I'm not going to get fired up because used to. And I think, again, that's one of the things we probably can go back to. If you eliminate the immediate eligibility thing, I think it also curtails some of this NIL stuff. And what I mean by that is the negative side of it. Because if I can go in the portal in December and get $25,000, and then I can go back in the portal in April and get another $25,000, I think if all of a sudden you had to sit a year, people aren't going to be willing to give you that $25,000. But also, too, I think guys are going to be a little less reluctant to go transfer. And, we'll see what the model looks like. I didn't think there was enough wrong with that in the first place. And we discussed that before on the show. Like, we had some basketball kids under Hallen that we never should have signed. Okay, let's just kind of say it for what it is. We never should have signed some of those guys. But they come in and they play sparingly, and then they decide to transfer to Alabama A&M or UAB or something like that. And then we were like, hey, we have no objection to the waiver. It's done. The school applies for immediate eligibility. Mississippi State signs off on it. Doesn't have to be a hearing. It's just done, right? There was nothing wrong with that. But if there weren't extenuating circumstances, if the two schools couldn't agree, then, you know, a decision had to be made or people had to sit a year. There was nothing wrong with that. There was nothing wrong with it. And people were like, oh, no, they should be treated like regular students. Well, they were treated like regular students. They just weren't treated like regular athletes. They could still go transfer from school to school. It's just they weren't able to have immediate eligibility. And there were a lot of people that were proponents of that, and it's kind of become a bit of a disaster. Because, and I give a lot of people within our conference a lot of credit for this. There were some people that saw this coming. And they goes, you know what? They're going to tie NIL compensation to immediate eligibility and transfers, and we're going to have tampering out the wazoo, and we do. And now you get all these people that are not real licensed agents that are involved in this process, and everybody's just trying to get a paycheck for themselves. And they're exploiting many of these student athletes in order to do that. And I think the best way to curtail that is to go back to the one-year residency rule. Or the sit-out rule as it used to be in the old days. There's nothing wrong with that. And again, if the two schools are mutually agreed that a kid should be able to play, especially if you sign a guy and maybe he's not as good as you thought, or maybe you have a player comes back you weren't expecting to, then you can get together and say, you know what, hey, this kid wants to go play at Southern Miss. We have no objection to that, and be done with it. It's really not a big deal. But they've made it a big deal, and they've made a mess of this. And hopefully once this house settlement thing is finally resolved. Of course, the ruling has been made, and there's already some things in place now. And there'll be other lawsuits. There's already some Title IX legislation out there. But I think the issue that they're going to run into is this is a revenue-sharing model. In order to really have a claim to get a bigger share of the revenue, I think one has to actually create revenue. If your sport is essentially subsidized by the bigger sports to generate revenue, I think you're going to have a difficult time making this a Title IX thing. That's just my opinion, and my lawyer, I don't play one on the internet, but I think that these lawsuits in many respects, while well-intended, are probably not going to yield the results that many of these people expect. And of course, some bad weather must be coming because my German Shepherd is now trying to get under the desk. So, but yeah, that's where we are with this official visit weekend. We will give you an up-to-date list of expected visitors on Friday and kind of get you prepared for that. But again, we expect, another good group. Chris Brunson's a guy that we expected to visit this weekend. He committed to Louisville earlier today. Not sure if he's going to make the trip. We'll confirm all that. We do our best to kind of check in and confirm with everybody before those visits take place. But we'll keep you abreast of that throughout the week. It's time for our Close with Blair player of the day, and that's going to be Charles Humphrey. I know he hasn't played a down for Mississippi State yet, but it would have been very easy for a player like Charles Humphrey with other opportunities to say, you know what, they got rid of the guy I wanted to play for, and so I'm going to look at other schools instead. He said, you know what, I'm going to give Coach Lotholt a chance. He's built a great relationship with him, and now he is committed to Mississippi State. So Charles Humphrey, out of Bearden High School in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's your Close at Blair player of the day. Of course, Blair Chandler is the name behind Close with Blair. Phone number 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. I believe in keeping business in the Bulldog family whenever we can. I encourage you to do the same. Blair is true maroon as they come. Blair is a guy that's been doing this for 24-plus years. You get his expertise and know-how working for you. There's a life hack involved in all of this. Get that pre-qualification letter, especially if you're a new home buyer. You don't need to be shopping above your means. You get that starter house. You get a house you can easily afford and enjoy life, right? Debt-to-income ratio is important. Blair's not going to put you in a property where perhaps that you're having to be stressed out all the time because you can't be home. Right? That's important, right? So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, look no further than closewithblair.com. All right, time for today's top 10 list brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars. And I understand their web traffic has picked up a little bit. You need to go ahead and push that purchase button. Again, I believe in keeping business within the family. This is a company owned and operated by Mississippi State people in Lake Jackson, Texas. The grandsons are part of the operation there too. Bulldogs through and through. And so I encourage you to give all of your guitar business, whether you're looking for a new guitar, and many of you are, right? Whether it be an acoustic, electric, classical, 12 strings, they can do it all, right? Name brand guitars available at a discounted price because you listen to this show, right? Expertise, quality service, before, during, and after the sale. Like you go buy something online somewhere, you may not be able to get a hold of anybody. We've all dealt with that. You get something and something's not quite right, and you can't get a hold of anybody. And you're dealing with some automated AI attendant. Well, you can call them or drop by the showroom and get service. Yeah, how about that? Now, some incentive to do business with them, whether you're looking for guitar cases, guitar accessories, gig bags, anything you need, guitar stands, I have one. I absolutely love it. Yeah, love it. You don't need your guitar to swing it up against the wall. So if you purchase through them, we'll give you promo code BSR. That gets you a 10% discount. Right out of the gate, you're getting the Ken Folks discount for being a Boneyard listener. Then you get free shipping. Then, if you don't live in the state of Texas, you don't have to pay sales tax. On top of that, they will make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund based on your purchase. What could be better than that? Nothing, I submit to you. Kalido Guitars, CalidoGuitars.com. Check them out today. Yeah, Brian Wilson passed away last week, and a lot of people believe that Brian Wilson was an absolute savant, that he was a guy that understood very complicated harmonies. He really made California cool. He did, right? And that was a great time in California history, you know, in the 60s and early 70s. You had a lot going on out there. Of course, all the Haight-Ashbury stuff came up in the late 60s. But, you know, growing up as a kid, there was a lot of Beach Boy stuff. You know, of course, I'm a lot older than many of you listen to the show, but the Beach Boys were a huge deal. And a lot of people loved them, you know, because they had this all-American look, and they talked about surfing, and they talked about, you know, high school and college romance and things of that nature. And every time you turned around, they were like selling Beach Boys' greatest hits albums on cable TV. Remember all that? Yeah, when music used to be fun, that's what they used to say. Yeah, well, music's always been fun. But we have not done the Beach Boys. So we're going to do it today in Brian Wilson's memory. Of course, he is a guy too, a very complicated guy. He had dementia later in his life, and it's so unfortunate, you know. But what's interesting about his life, he really kind of became a bit disenfranchised, kind of being labeled. Like, you know, he had this clean-cut image. He kind of rebelled against that, got involved with LSD and all kind of stuff, wrote some tracks when he was under the influence of narcotics. Got really, 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 really jealous of Phil Spector. And, of course, the Beatles came, and he admitted himself he had real jealousy about the British invasion. So they wrote some songs, you know, kind of in response to that. They were an American band, obviously, but very complicated individual. A guy that was very reclusive at times, battled depression, had a lot of mental health issues. There were times that I read a story that he left and hitched a ride to Mexico and ended up in Tijuana. Then they found him walking the streets of San Diego. He didn't have any money, didn't have a wallet. And they had to get him back to, you know, Northern California. There was a lot involved with him. But again, there are a lot of people that are kind of tortured geniuses. Some of our most ultra creative people are people that are in pain. And they use music or cinema or writing to kind of heal themselves. And that appears to have been kind of Brian Wilson. Of course, you know, his daughters formed two-thirds of Wilson Phillips. We're big fans of Chyna Phillips on this show. Huge, huge fan, Chyna Phillips. But, yeah, Carnie Wilson and her sister, I can't remember the other sister's name. Wilson Phillips, another, you know, kind of radio-friendly act of the early 90s. You know, Hold On for One More Day. Yeah, you remember them. But, yeah, the descendants of Brian Wilson, two-thirds of them anyway. Brian Wilson said that he felt the best song that he had ever written is our number 10 track. It's Caroline No. And it's very different than all the 2.5 to 3 minute like pop songs that he wrote. It's a little more introspective. The guitar work on it, a little more modern for its time. And you had a lot of that guitar work with the Beach Boys that kind of became synonymous with the California sound. This was a little bit different. This was more Southern California, extreme Southern California in some respects. Number 9, a song that everybody should know. And again, they were very poppy and they kind of wrote to the teenagers of the day, but it's Be True to Your School, your number 9 track. That message still stands today. Number 8, they had a big reunion, I guess you could say, kind of a resurgence. And many of you remember Cocktail and all that kind of stuff. Great movie with Tom Cruise. Elizabeth Shue, big fan of her too. Huge, huge fan of Elizabeth Shue. But the song Kokomo, that was one of those songs that it still gets played. It's been a huge hit. But again, it just kind of speaks to the genius of Brian Wilson that even generations later, he could write very meaningful and infectious type pop songs. Number 7, God Only Knows. And Paul McCartney tweeted out yesterday after Brian Wilson had passed away, how will we go on without Brian Wilson? God Only Knows. So kind of paying tribute to this great track. But, you know, basically it's about a breakup, you know, it's like, how will I go on? Number 6, another song about a breakup. You know, the old adage out there, the best way to get over somebody is to get under somebody else. This is it. Help me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda. Help me get her out of my heart. Not the best way, just so you know. Not the healthiest way anyway. Maybe the funnest way, but not the healthiest way to get over a breakup. There's a lot of people, and again, I don't want to be too preachy today, but there's a lot of people, it's like they're chronically coupling, right? You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that need validation from the person to feel okay about themselves, even if it's not a great relationship, just knowing they have somebody, right? That, you know, that kind of speaks to this whole thing. Number 5, one of the biggest hits of the Beach Boys catalog. I love it. I don't like it as much as the songs that are ahead of it, but Surfing USA, because if everybody had an ocean across the USA, they'd want us to go surfing. And that was the thing, too. California seemed so cool, right? I remember being a kid and watching all this stuff. It's like, you know, man, I want to go to California. I want to learn to surf. I want to get those beach bunnies to date me. You know what I mean? That's how it felt. I mean, growing up in rural Mississippi, there was almost this feeling of like, hey, they're just living life so much better than us out there. I don't think we feel that way today, but we did back then. Number 4, and this was one of those songs kind of in response to the Beatles making their way to the United States and to the record charts, but it's I Get Around. And I enjoyed the bass line on this. And the thing that I enjoy, too, so much about these Beach Boys songs, not just the complicated harmonies, but it's like, even though there was like a scarlet thread to it all that kind of said, hey, that's the Beach Boys sound, there was a lot of diversity in the catalog. And I think, you know, the organ at times is a part of it. But I Get Around as one of those songs that I think kind of speaks to that generation. Number 3. The song is fun, 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 but man, it is a fun song, right? It's like dad buys her a car. She's riding around. You know, we're going to go to the hamburger stand and we're going to have fun, fun, fun until daddy takes the T-Bird away. And then the falsetto on that chorus is really next level. I mean, it really, really is. You go back and you listen, we talk about those complicated harmonies. There are just some people that can kind of tap into the ethos and kind of pull these grand ideas out and then can turn it into music that resonates with people. This is one of those songs. I think Brian Wilson was one of those people. As I've read about him, you know, and sometimes in his drug-induced stupor, you know, he felt that he could hear the angels. Interesting. Number 2, David Lee Roth did a cover of this off Crazy from the Heat. And I think it actually might have been better, you know, than the original. To be honest with you, I'm a little bit biased, but it's California Girls. I wish they all could be California Girls. And lyrically, this is one of those songs, too, that I think just kind of stands alone on its own. It's like, basically, it's like, I love the girls from all over the country, but I wish they were all close to me, right? I wish they could all be California Girls, you know, the Southern girls with the way they talk. They knock me out when I'm down there. Yeah, interesting. And, you know, Motley Crue kind of built a little bit upon that, too, you know. They kind of use that, too. But number one, a song that we could all appreciate, and again, it's one of those just kind of infectious songs. Musically, it's just so tight. It's just so good. And again, they use some of the lower register as part of the harmonies. And again, there was just it was such a unique palette that Brian Wilson used to paint with. And this is, to me, I think, the quintessential Beach Boys song. It's Good Vibrations. And everybody's heard it a million times before. And so some songs feature the falsetto. This one features the low register. A lot of good stuff, but a lot of people very upset, obviously, about Brian Wilson passing away, even though we knew it was inevitable. You know, life is short, death is certain. But it makes us consider our own mortality when people from our youth pass away. It truly does. And very, very interesting, you know, very, very interesting to learn about, you know, his last days and how much he struggled. And you don't wish that on anybody. It's so difficult on the family. But it's interesting. You know, Brian Wilson, I'd read when he got engaged the second time that he had 9 lawsuits pending. And, of course, as part of his initial divorce settlement, he had agreed to pay Marilyn, his previous wife, a certain percentage of royalties of future earnings, which hardly seems fair. It does, but I get it. You were there in the beginning when he struggled, and you're probably entitled to continuing royalties from songs written during your matrimony, but it just seems weird to me that somebody could make a claim to future earnings on creative content that didn't exist when you were together. That's, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on the internet either. But fame was very, very expensive for Brian Wilson. I think his ex-Marilyn, after he sold his catalog, he'd won some lawsuit based on the sale of his catalog, and then Marilyn immediately filed a suit wanting $6.7 million. I think he got $12 million, and then she sued for $6.7 million. Yeah, I guess it's good work if you can get it. But nevertheless, we have lost an American savant on the music side of things, and you just never know what's next in life. But at some point, we talk about the dash, right? What happens between the end date, the birth date and the end date, what you do. It's pretty clear that Brian Wilson did some amazing things. Even worked some with Glenn Campbell. You know, Glenn Campbell filled in for him some when he couldn't do shows, when he got all reclusive and things of that nature. Glenn Campbell, of course, country music superstar. And Brian Wilson actually produced Glenn Campbell's first single as a thank you for filling in for him when he couldn't do it. You know, so a lot of connections to American music. And so very grateful for the Beach Boys and grateful for Brian Wilson and very sorry for all those who love them. All right, time for the next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart. We have for a long time. And why do we love them? Because they have what we want, which is more Mississippi State merch. Whether it's apparel, gift ideas, everything you need to detail out your fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. Neatly positioned on the backside of campus, just turn off 182 right there at the Trooper Station, follow on around, and then there's Campus Bookmart. You can make all your purchases and leave them in your car if you want to as you go and cheer on the Bulldogs at Davis Wade Stadium, Duty Noble Field, or Humphrey Coliseum. It's a great place to be. Now, if you can't make it to town or perhaps game day is not a good shopping day for you, visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. As I mentioned last week, we're going to talk a lot more about football. We're going to take our first sneak peek at Southern Miss. We'll revisit this as we get a little bit closer to the season and get into game week, and we'll have a little more information about Southern Miss at that point. But Former Bulldog running back coach Charles Huff is the head coach there. Did a really good job at Marshall. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, they did. Won the Sun Belt last year. Brought about 20 players with him to Hattiesburg, including Josh Moten, who may be one of the best players in the Sun Belt. But, you know, looking back at last year, we'll take a quick look back. Honestly, I'm surprised the Will Hall thing didn't work. I mean, honest to goodness, that's truly how I felt. I thought he would do a really good job recruiting maybe the guys at Southern Miss normally got from Mississippi that maybe stayed and Ole Miss recruited but didn't maybe offer or offered and didn't push for commitments. I thought he could kind of make a living doing that. Will, no longer there. The Golden Eagles went 1-11 last year and finished the year on a 10-game losing streak. Went 0-8 in Sun Belt play. Of course, last few of those games, interim coach Reed Stringer had the nod there. But they opened up last year with a loss at Kentucky, 31-0. We really thought that game may be a little more competitive because we didn't think Kentucky would be that strong. But it's so weird going to play at Kroger Field. I can't explain why it is, but it is. And a lot of it's got to do with those odd fronts that Kentucky employs. You don't see it very often. It changes so much. But you felt like Kentucky would have an athletic advantage. They did. They pick up a win over Southeastern of the FCS, their lone win of the year. That's a 35-10 game. And then South Florida. They lose to South Florida 49-24. Jacksonville State then blows them out 44-7 in Jacksonville. Competitive game with UL Lafayette. The Raging Cajuns get out of MM Roberts Stadium with a 23-13 win. Golden Eagles travel to Louisiana Monroe and get beat 38-21. And it was a good year for Louisiana Monroe, especially by their standards. Homecoming brought Arkansas State to Hattiesburg. The Red Wolves leave with a 44-28 victory. James Madison, a team that was kind of talent deficient as they had many of their players leave and go to Indiana, but 32-15 victory for JMU. Marshall, ironically, goes into Hattiesburg and wins 37-3. I mean, you see the scoring just was not a strong point for Southern Miss last year. Texas State, pass-happy offense up there. They get the Golden Eagles 58-3. South Alabama 35-14. You remember the big Kane Roberts billboard and postgame. And then the contest with Troy. They don't have the end result here. But nevertheless, didn't work out well for the Golden Eagles last year. Let's see if we can't find our statistics here. Southern Miss website had some updates on it earlier and some things weren't popping up for us, but let's see if we can't get them to work now. If not, we'll go to our friends at the Worldwide Leader in Sports and check out the numbers there. It's so interesting to the Southern Miss team. They're one of these teams that you feel like should be better than they normally are. And I think there's a lot of people, yeah, we got our numbers now. We've got a lot of people that kind of root for Southern Miss when they're not playing Mississippi State, you know. And that's part of the deal, right? I mean, I want to see them do well. They lose that Troy game 52-20. That was the final there. But, yeah, finished the year 1-11. But, yeah, there have been some changes in an influx of talent. Guys are used to playing in that league. They do lose a lot of their offensive skill. They lose Larry Simmons, who was the leading pass catcher, 421 yards last year, 27 receptions, but just one touchdown. And again, just not much going on offensively. It's 7 passing touchdowns, 13 rushing touchdowns, so just 20 on the year. Not great. Rodriguez Clark from Starkville High School was the leading rusher at Southern Miss last year. And had a career year, 124 carries, 604 yards, but just the one touchdown. Maybe not the finisher we thought he was, but yeah, we like Drake for sure. Looking a little more into this, Tate Rodemaker was the primary passer last year. Ethan Crawford, of course, the guy that we played against Tate Rodemaker, 985 yards passing, 7 touchdowns against 7 interceptions. As a team, Southern Miss had 17 interceptions against them and just 7 touchdowns. So 10 more interceptions and touchdowns, and Golden Eagle quarterbacks were sacked 45 times last year. Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. Completion percentage, 52.4% as a group. So they needed to go out and get somebody. They did. They brought in their guy from Marshall, Braylon Braxton. He didn't exactly light it up last year at Marshall, but clearly knows the system, knows terminology, knows what's expected of the quarterback in Charles Huff's system. Yeah, really, no question about it. He threw 19 touchdowns against just 2 picks last year, which shows that ball security obviously is important to him. Ran for 610 yards, so a true dual threat guy. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting how they fill out around him. They went to the portal and kind of rebuilt the offensive line, and that's a good thing. We mentioned the 45 sacks. They also were a team that allowed almost 10 tackles for loss per game. Only a handful of teams in the country that could make that claim. They were one of them. But the bulk of this team is going to come in from Marshall. I say the bulk. I mean, you got 20 guys. But you do have some returners. But by and large, it is a team built out of the portal. So, you know, last year's film won't help a whole lot, at least as far as personal matchups. Chris Jones is back. Freshman last year, defensive tackle. He's a guy that could probably do some things. Second on the team last year with 46 tackles. Dylan Lawrence has moved on. Of course, he was one of the stars. I really wish we would have allowed him to stay here, especially considering some of the issues that we've had at safety in recent years. But Lawrence found a home at Southern Miss and did some good things. But, you know, we talk about, you know, some of these guys coming in, you know, linebacker Chris Jones, good player, returner. But by and large, this is going to be a completely different team. Kyron Heath, the tight end, is back, Southern Miss guy. So, you know, that'll be interesting. But there's just not going to be a lot you look at and say, well, I can kind of figure it all out from here. You know, there's going to be some interesting wrinkles, I'm sure. Huff, you know, they're going to want to beat us. There's no questions about it. Trey Pinckney, leading tackler, is gone. Led the team last year with, 74 tackles. Yeah, so he's gone. And that's a team that couldn't get off the field. But not a lot behind them. You know, we talked about Chris Jones with 46. But there's a lot of people behind them that just kind of contributed. There's some big names, too. Remember Elijah Sabatini, you know, from Biloxi State, did not pursue him. Jalil Clemens, a guy from Starkville. Will James, former Mississippi State Bulldog, down there had 35 tackles. And so there's going to be some names you know down there. But it's going to be a much different looking team. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. And again, with all those transfers, it's tough. It's tough to put it together in week one. So they open up with us, 11 a.m. in the South Mississippi heat on August 30th, 11 a.m. kick. That'll be broadcast on ESPN. The next weekend, they will host Jackson State and then App State, travel to Louisiana Tech, Jacksonville State at home, at Georgia Southern, at ULL. And that's going to be an interesting one, too, because they play GSU on Thursday, so they'll get the elongated preparation time. Host Louisiana Monroe, travel to Arkansas State. Texas State will roll in at South Alabama and then Troy. So the schedule, pretty similar to last year, other than they pick up Mississippi State, you know, and then Jackson State replaces Southeastern as the FCS opponent. But, yeah, they should be a better team, and I think they'll be a better team in time, too. I think Huff will do a good job there, but it's so interesting. How does Marshall let Huff get away? I mean, you look back in hindsight, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And there was a lot of discussion about that. He wasn't under contract. You know, big move for Southern Miss. I mean, to go get a guy from within your league, a sitting guy that has won within your league, knows the conference well, a guy that times has done some interesting things as a coach. You know, kind of well-traveled too, as you guys know. Before us, he was at, you know, running backs and special teams coach at Penn State, Western Michigan. Was in with the Bills for a season before that. Quality control analyst with Vanderbilt. But as a head coach, 32-20. And again, Sun Belt championship team last year. But, you know, working through this. 32-20 as a head coach, and 10 of those wins come last year. But a bowl game, all four seasons, he was the head coach there. Like, what does Marshall want? You know, what do they want out of a football program? You get three out of four winning seasons and a Sun Belt championship, and you don't lock up your coach. This doesn't make a lot of sense. The 2023 was the worst year. They went 6-6 in a regular season, and then they lose the Frisco Bowl. Last year's team did not play in the Independence Bowl because so many guys hit the portal as soon as the coaching change was made. So Marshall pulls out of the bowl game. But it's so, you know, again, it's just an interesting dynamic to consider that Marshall finally has a winning program again, and then they allow their coach to leave for an in-league team. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Why do you not have that guy under contract? You know, that's a lot of things happen that don't make a lot of sense to your good friend and host. That's one of them. And I've read, listen, State's a 2-touchdown favorite in this game. You know, we got to go in there and play, obviously. I know many of you would be difficult to get tickets to go to the game. You may have to pay more than you really want to, or you could stay home. We encourage you to come out there. I remember, you know, last time we went down there, 2015, and man, it was a hostile environment. You know, as a guy that grew up in South Mississippi, you know, that was the thing back in those days. Some people were talking about, you know, the Big Three. Many people within our in-state media had Southern Miss and Mississippi State and Ole Miss kind of on the same level. And what's interesting is many of you young bucks don't know this, but once State and Ole Miss stopped playing Southern Miss annually, which was very much a paycheck game for them, things began to really change for Southern Miss. And so you don't really lose to those guys that often, you know, it's just kind of a rarity. But Mississippi State holds a 16-14-1 record all time. And when we used to lose to them in the 80s, it was absolutely agonizing. We also had a couple of games that were forfeited to them due to the Larry Gillard case back in the 70s that impacted this thing for a while. But State has not lost to Southern Miss since 1988. And 89, of course, down in Hattiesburg, the week after Southern Miss and Brett Favre beat Florida State, we marched right on down there and won and chanted Eric Underwood for Heisman all the way down the down the stairs on the way out. But it has been a while since we've had to taste defeat. A lot of these games have not been very competitive. Now, in 2023, it was a game for a while, and State kind of put it to them late and got separation that game, 41-20. You go back to 2019, State wins 38-15. Dak, of course, wins down there 34-16, and it was a weird game too. It was like opening drive, we drive down the field, we give it to Ashton Shumpert, he fumbles going in, and then Southern Miss felt like they had life. He had the fake field goal. There was all kind of crazy stuff that happened. And we didn't want Dak to run much, so we had him throwing it around, but in the second half, we just kind of turned him loose. And we went down there, but there was a lot of acrimony. The year before, in 14, they had come up here, and we'd beaten them 49-0. First time we had played since 1990. And of course, Joel Logan's shining moment. A couple field goals to beat Southern Miss in 89 and 90. But there was a stretch there, man. We just could not find a way to beat those guys. It's pretty crazy how that works. From 77 to 1983, we lost every meeting against Southern Miss. But since that time, it has been decidedly in favor of Mississippi State. But, you know, again, as a guy that grew up in South Mississippi, you had to deal with this a lot. And there are some people within our fan base, of course, that are from South Mississippi, and they're like, hey, we should never play them. I don't know that I agree with that. I don't think we should play a home and home with them. I don't think we should ever give that game away. We have nothing really to gain from that. You know, you sign the 2-for-1 deal and you got to go down there. I just think an SEC team should never travel to a Sun Belt team. That's just my feeling. Not that we're afraid to go, but from an economic standpoint, to me, Smicky would make better sense for Starkville and for Mississippi State to play this game at home. You know, that's what's always so intriguing to me. Again, I don't know all the Mike Nemeth could probably tell you more. I don't know all of the benefits of a 2-for-1 deal. But I suspect we could find somebody to play those games in Starkville. You know, that's me. And anytime you go down there, it can be a little bit of a dicey proposition. You know, but of course, State has won, I guess, it was the last two games in Hattiesburg. Yeah. We hadn't lost in Hattiesburg since 78. Part of that is because for almost a decade, we played this game in Jackson, Mississippi. We played it at Memorial Coliseum, or Memorial Stadium. Veterans Memorial Stadium. We used to play the Egg Bowl there, used to play Southern Miss there. And again, it didn't make a lot of sense for State and Ole Miss to continue to play those games in Jackson. It was great for Central Mississippi, but it didn't make economic sense for us to do that. And so we stopped doing it. And it's interesting, too, when you go back and think, you know, we're willing to play Southern Miss. Ole Miss apparently is not. And that's their business, I guess. But it's, you know, there's a lot of great stories about those games. And again, State played 31 times. But, you know, Ole Miss 18-6 all time against Southern Miss. Southern Miss won the last two games in 83 and 84. So this is even prior to the expansion of the SEC. You know, for a while there, again, Southern Miss and Ole Miss were regular opponents. And then when Southern Miss began to win with regularity, Ole Miss decided we don't want to play them. In fact, the Golden Eagles have won 4 of the last 5 and 6 of the last 7 against Southern Miss. Excuse me, against Ole Miss. You get what I'm saying? So they were more than happy to play those games until Southern Miss got good enough to win those games. And it's like, we don't want to play anymore. You know, from 1913 to 1976, Southern Miss won one game. That was in 1970 in Oxford. So you can kind of do the math from there. Again, it's interesting that Ole Miss won't play them. You know, play them in basketball, play them in baseball, play them in women's sports, but not in in football. But, you know, economically speaking, you would want the Golden Eagles to come to your place. Just my take on it. Maybe you see things differently. That's okay. That's perfectly okay. But, not the expectations for Southern Miss is to be better and to maybe win 3 or 4 games. But you know as well as I do, Charles Huff is going to have them jacked to play us. Of course, you've got an NFL corner in Josh Moten, former Texas A&M Aggie, a guy that State recruited out of the portal last year and couldn't get. And that's when people began to get really concerned about our NIL. And Moten turned down a lot of money to go down there. If he'd come here, be back in the SEC, who knows? But he's got NFL buzz in the Sun Belt, so maybe his agency decided, you know what, let's just kind of stick with what we know. But the reality of this whole thing with them is they're going to come out loaded for bear. I wouldn't be surprised to see an onside kick the first play of the game and fake punts. And, you know, you have to take chances when you're the underdog. And at this point, Charles Huff has nothing to lose. You're a brand new coach. You're trying to establish a new culture. You want to send a message to your fan base and to your team that you're there to win. And so I expect it to be a pretty wild game, especially early on. And again, with Moten out there on one side of the field, as much as we throw it, you got to be careful about that aspect of it too. That's a guy that can really play. Now, Jeff Lebby, I think, is a guy too that'll probably try to find a way to put him in conflict and exploit them, because that becomes so demoralizing when your best guy is getting exposed. The rest of the defense, you know, no matter what you say or think, it's just human nature to think these guys are just better than us. But I suspect that we will see some shots down the field against kind of a new-look secondary, because it's not all just Marshall players. It's some guys that are just kind of figuring it out too. They're figuring out how to play and communicate with each other. And so that's something that I think State has really got to be able to exploit. But you've got to be able to go out there and attack down the field and put those guys in conflict. But, you know, pass rush wasn't bad for them last year. But, again, you work through this. Like Josh Battle is a guy that makes the move from UT Chattanooga. There will be a couple guys from Marshall in the secondary, obviously, with Moten and Amir Foster. But this is a group that's going to have some athletes in the secondary, but we're gonna have to be able to exploit their newness in some respects of being able to communicate together as a unit. And that's one of the things that Jeff Lebby does is he puts you in situations where he gets a matchup that is advantageous to the offense. If you don't adjust to it, you get exposed. But again, we'll revisit Southern Miss once we get some fall camp reports. But I know many of you are already getting into football mode, and it's interesting to think about this. Like we're 2 weeks, just under 2 weeks away from July 1st. By the end of that month, we'll be in camp, and then we're playing a football game in August. And it doesn't seem like it's so far away. And it's interesting, too, that everybody's kind of caught up in baseball portal stuff. We're going to talk about that just a little bit in our final segment of the show. But football fever, I think, is kind of starting to come in a little bit. You know, again, I think there's some fan fatigue with all the recruiting coverage, but I think people are eager to see what Jeff Lebby can do in year two. And we've talked before how significant it is. If State wants to make a bowl game this year, you really need to win all four of these non-conference games. You beat Arizona State, which I think may be the most important game on the schedule. You set up really well against an SEC schedule that is always very, very challenging. But you get those four wins, and you get the dress rehearsal this year in many respects, then you can kind of work from there. That's an important aspect of this thing. That's why this game is so important. Most important game is the next one, as always. But as fans, we can kind of look ahead and speculate. But there's just so many things about this Southern Miss team that I think you'll learn to like if you're a Golden Eagle fan. And I'm certainly there excited, you know, to get Mississippi State down in their backyard. But it's difficult in game one. Everybody talks about the biggest improvements you make all year is game one to game two. A lot of that's because, you know, no matter how much you drill it out in practice, no matter how much you prep it in the walkthrough, people don't always understand personnel groups. Man, when the bullets get flying, all of a sudden you've got people on the field that shouldn't be on the field. You've got people that don't know the plays or don't know the dummy counts. There's just a lot that happens in game one. Until you see live action against a real opponent, you just really don't know what to expect. And so I think State is talented enough to probably beat Southern Miss any week of the year, but I think getting them first kind of works in Mississippi State's favor. And again, State currently favored by 14 points in this game. I honestly don't think it'll be that close in the end. I do think it may be a little nip and tuck the first half. Because, listen, it's not a great venue for football, and this is not me being disrespectful, but it's not a very intimidating environment. And again, I think we'll have a lot of fans there. There'll be a lot of Golden Eagle fans there too. And again, this is one of those games they're excited to play, but it's interesting to me. I never see the Southern Miss side of this where they say, well, at least Mississippi State will play us. You know, Ole Miss won't play us, but you never hear that. You know, it's like, oh, we can't wait to beat Mississippi State. And even win or lose, you never, ever hear anybody on the Southern Miss side, at least I don't, they'd say, well, at least give Mississippi State credit for willing to play us. And they're willing to come to Hattiesburg to do it. And again, I'm not in favor of that. But I think that's something that gets lost in all of this. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We've stayed there for New Year's, had a great time, took advantage of that full-service kitchen. I did not partake of the wet bar. You may. That great back porch area, the fire pit area, we did it all. We got our money's worth, for sure. Six bedrooms, two, soon to be three baths. It's open 365 days a year, not just on ballgame weekends. It's not a regular residence. It's a place that you can go when you've got some vacation time. You just want to get the family together. It's a great place to stay, and it's just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. How cool is that? Do your tailgating right there. You don't have to lug all that stuff to campus. You can just go right there, go to the ball game, come back, relax a little bit, watch some more football. you know. And I think, you know, it's summertime too, so maybe you're not going to Disney or the Redneck Riviera this year and think, hey, why don't we just go do like a staycation in Starkville? Enjoy one of our favorite cities when maybe it's not quite so busy. Great time to come. And if you're bringing a work group, you can do that too. I got some friends that did that as well. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can check them out. And all the pictures of all the amenities, of all the great things available to you and your guests. In that Google search, some booking options are going to pop up too. You can go Airbnb or VRBO if you want to. I don't know, maybe you've got a credit. I don't know. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. That's BSR, the number 10, 10. 10%. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, without any question. All right, let's take a quick look at the tracker for that's pinned for free on the front of Gene's page. Will be for a couple more weeks. And so if you lose track of kind of who's transferred out and who's transferred in, you can go check it out. You'll be glad you did. Very easy access. And again, pinned is our second story on the front of Gene's page. Now's a great time to subscribe. It always is. A lot going on. I guess we're kind of getting up to speed. Kind of how things are going to go. But let's take a quick look. There's been some changes, you know, for everybody. As you guys are well aware, you know, been some changes. Some of the former Diamond Dogs, and we love to see them come. We hate to see them leave. We have an opportunity, of course, to upgrade our roster, and that's always an important aspect of this, you know, always. And that's one thing that I think about with if I'm running the Mississippi State program, I am looking to improve my roster each and every year in the transfer portal. Very important to me. You should always be looking to upgrade. Always. Don't ever stop looking. You know, it's kind of like when you have a job, too. You're always looking to upgrade. All right, so again, here is who has announced their destination, unless we've missed somebody. Arkansas Little Rock picks up Michael O'Brien. Very happy for Big Mike and Shannon. Happy for Mikey. Nolan Stevens headed to Oklahoma. Announced earlier today, Luke Dotson, former left-handed reliever, probably one of the only guys I think that may have had an opportunity to come back. He's headed to Texas, so we'll see them next year early in the year as we travel to Austin, Texas for the first time, I think, since 83. I think that's right. 84. Robert Fortenberry, native. Dad's native of Marion County, Mississippi, headed to Kansas State. Kevin Manel, as previously reported, headed to Nebraska. Really excited for him. Steven Spoletta, headed to Louisiana Lafayette. I expect him to be an everyday player down there. Lucas Buckner, headed to Coastal Carolina, who is now in control of their bracket in Omaha. So still several more former Diamond Dogs to kind of figure it out, and we'll be kind of monitoring that as best we can. Bulldogs, of course, you pick up Tomas, I say it's Valencius. His brother Vitas said it's Valencius at Illinois, but it's Valencius. Thomas Valencius. I like Tomas Valencius. Like if I went anywhere and my name was spelled like him, I would be Tomas Valencius. Because you never know, right? But it's Thomas Valencius. That's how he pronounces it. James Nunnally, of course, turned down a couple $1 million to go play at Virginia. That's going to be significant. One of the things we talk about here shortly. Sean James of Virginia, of course, part of the program. Aiden Teal from Virginia as well. And then you pick up Ryder Woodson, future shortstop from NC State. I've seen some people kind of debating that, where they think he'll play. He has been told from the staff he's expected to come in and compete for the starting shortstop position. Maddox Webb from the Citadel. We've discussed him, and then Jackson Logar from James Madison. Let's take a quick look at Jackson Logar. We'll check him out real quick here. And he was a guy that was in the rotation, I guess, at James Madison. You know, what does that mean for us? You know, last year as a freshman, he made 22 appearances. You know, so it's not like he just, you know, is a guy that's just kind of figuring it out. I mean, he's had an opportunity to do some interesting things and work primarily as a bullpen hand, had two starts in 24, a couple of saves too, but 43 innings and had 43 Ks. So a strikeout per inning in D1 baseball. Now, granted, you're taking a big step up in competition, but you hope that your training kind of comes along with you in that respect. But you know, looking at him this year, a much bigger workload. I mean, again, a lot of appearances for a freshman guy. But you know, looking at him from 2025, in many respects, their leading pitcher, 15 appearances, 14 of them were starts. He had a 4-5 record with an ERA of 3.53. That led the team. He had 74 innings pitched. That also led the team. 50 hits, so well less than a hit per, and allowed 29 earned runs on those 50 hits. 72 Ks against 41 walks. And so that's a part of it. You know, we got to get those walks down. But batting average against is 197. And so you got to be able to command things. But this is not a James Madison team that won a lot of games, but you're getting the best pitcher off that, their most effective pitcher from that staff. Led the team in just about every statistical category as a pitcher. So you feel like maybe you've got some, maybe he's your Sunday guy. Maybe that's how things work out. But we talked about the walks, but he also had 30 hit by pitches. And so kind of scratch and dent. Like you look at that, but you can clearly figure out the control has been an issue with him. And that's something that's going to have to be, you know, correct as we move forward. But only allowed 9 earned runs. So that's a scenario, too, where he's kind of maybe pitched himself into some trouble, but has been able to pitch his way out of it. Now, the big news today, Jack Bauer, former Virginia commitment, is now a Mississippi State commitment. I reached out to him. Hopefully we'll get him on the phone here soon. But 6'3", 175-pound pitcher from Frankfort, Illinois, that has set the national record. 103 miles per hour from the left, right? It's pretty crazy. An All-American, perfect game All-American, a perfect 10 rating from them, 18 months, 5 years of age. And people say, automatically, people say, well, he's going to go pro. And he may. He may. But it's interesting that Brian O'Connor's had a lot of success getting these guys to come to school. And as he mentioned, you know, how do you want to spend the next 3 years of your life? Well, I mean, that's a big part of it. And there are a lot of parents out there that'll tell you, kind of concerned about their teenager going out on the road in minor league baseball. You're often alone. And as Jake Mangum has shared with me multiple times, you know, you're just not as close to those guys. You know, it's not like in college where you do everything together. You just kind of go and make things happen. You know, that's what you do. Because it's a business at that point. And so Bauer, one of the best pitching prospects in the country, without any question whatsoever. And I think that's an important aspect of this too, is these are the kinds of guys that I believe that you're going to see you're going to see Brian O'Connor routinely commit. Guys that have to make this kind of decision. And you're going to win some, and you're going to lose some. And you know what? That's okay. That's kind of part of the deal, you know. But in order for us to be the best at what we want to be, you got to chase the best talent. You can't say, well, I'm not going to commit that guy because he's going to go pro. You know, we got three guys right now that I think most people probably agree that will have the opportunity to go pro this year. You know, that's one of those things you look at and you begin to kind of wonder, you know, what's going to happen with the current class? Are there going to be some guys that just don't have the relationship and decide, you know what, we're just going to kind of move on? You know, Chris Simonis sitting here, the coaches that recruited me are gone, you know, outside of Justin Parker. But I think one of the things you got to be mindful of if you're Mississippi State is you have a coaching staff that has done a great job over the years developing first-round talent. Guys that may come in here as a fourth or fifth-round guy, and now you've got better resources, you've got better facilities. And even in Virginia, and I tell you guys too, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, I was underwhelmed at Virginia, you know, by what we saw. Like, it just, you know, it was a nice park. It was. The playing surface was great. But as far as, like, the amenities and the exterior of the stadium, it really wasn't anything to write home about. And so when guys were committing to Virginia, they were effectively committing to Brian O'Connor and his staff. And you have seen that in recent days. If you've read our interviews, we make all those things free when guys commit, that they have the opportunity, of course, to go pro. But they say, you know what, I want to play for this staff. And we've had guys in recent days that have committed to Mississippi State sight unseen. That's an important aspect of this thing, too. That's about relationship building. Now, I tell you, in the past, we did a good job building relationships, but a lot of times we used our campus, our facilities, and our stadium to kind of recruit for us. It's like, hey, we want you to come see the place before you do anything. And that's a great methodology. But the fact that you got guys that are just willing to jump on board and say, you know what, I want to go to Mississippi State because I want to play for these coaches, that gives me some hope that those coaches are going to be able to talk those young men into coming to school. And we still got some work to do. And we got to get a starting catcher. I mean, we got some young catchers coming in, but we've got to find a bona fide starter in the portal. We probably need to find two, if we can, a bona fide starter and a depth piece. And it's tough to find those guys in the portal early. You have to kind of get them late because everybody wants a chance to start. I mean, the Johnny Longs of the world don't come along very often. And Johnny Long ended up catching a whole lot more than we expected him to because, you know, Ross Heifel ended up getting hurt. So that's something that we're working through. And, of course, you got to get some arms, you know. We're already expecting, like, if we're going to have a couple guys go pro, but, you know, whether it's a 34-man roster or a 38-man roster, we're already going to be oversigned and committed. And so it'll be like it is most years. You'll have some guys come in here and fall ball, and they'll have to go make a team. And if they don't, they'll be in the portal or they'll head to junior college. I mean, that's kind of how life works in major college baseball. And so it's going to be an interesting year. And again, we're going to be more reliant on the portal this year as, you know, O'Connor brings in some of his own guys, but also guys that have played for him, but some other guys too that maybe he recruited that he sees as an upgrade based on his own evaluations here. You know, that's something to understand too. You know, and I think one of the things when you look at Brian O'Connor, as I've mentioned before, the last 2 years, five players per year in the portal, and those have primarily been pitchers. And when you've got a guy that prioritizes pitching, as Brian O'Connor does, that's probably always going to be the case. Maybe you have a guy that gets injured, or maybe you have a guy that doesn't perform up to expectations, and so you use the portal to kind of supplement there. I don't think we're going to see a ton of position players annually. I think we'll see some. There's going to be some guys just too good to pass on, but I don't think you're going to see a ton of position players under regular circumstances. This is a unique circumstance, as everybody knows. And there's a lot of excitement about it. I mean, goodness, our baseball board right now is hopping like crazy, you know, compared to what it normally is this time of year. And, of course, last year, you know, I thought we had a really good portal class on the hitting side. We were excited on the pitching side, but really none of those guys kind of came to be what we thought they would be other than Hungate, and he ends up getting injured, you know. It's going to be a different dynamic. I think what you're going to see at Mississippi State in the years ahead is you're going to have Justin Parker's expertise as far as day-to-day teaching, getting down the slope, teaching extension, and you're going to have Brian O'Connor's pedigree working with him. So I believe that you're going to see better pitching at Mississippi State on an annual basis than you have seen maybe ever. Maybe. When you begin to think about how informed young people are these days and how informed coaches are as they begin to evaluate these guys, and it's not a scenario where you're committing guy in the ninth grade and you kind of stick with him until the very end. I mean, you're offering guys and committing guys later So you have more information to work with. And I think, again, Brian O'Connor's a guy that has done a good job of getting pitchers to come to school rather than go pro. It's an important aspect of things, too. Very important aspect of things. So I think you're getting the best of both worlds. You're getting Justin Parker, a guy that knows how to handle pitchers and help them move better on the mound. And you've got Brian O'Connor, a guy that made his own living as a pitching coach for a long time before he took over to University of Virginia. So I expect Justin Parker to have a lot more groceries to cook with when he gets ready to prepare the meal. And you look at what we did last year, right, in 2024. Didn't have quite as much to work with this year, right? We went out and got Cal Steven after Luke Holman elected to go to LSU, and then Cal ended up having the better year and went higher in the draft. Nate Dolm is a guy that we'd had from the previous year from Ball State. Wasn't healthy, but my goodness, what a year he had when he was healthy. And then Gerangelo, my gosh, I mean, you talk about a guy that really reached his potential. And so what I expect is for Brian O'Connor to attract that level and better talent. And Justin Parker will do a good job kind of refining those guys into being productive pitchers. And I think we're going to have pitching in the years to come that everybody in the SEC will be concerned about. Because, again, when you talk about Virginia baseball under O'Connor, it has been primarily about pitching. It's like those guys know how to pitch. Those guys are going to compete on the mound. They're going to have different arm slot guys, but they're going to have strike throwers. They're not going to be guys that go out there and walk the ballpark. And so as a result, I think you're going to see this pitching staff really take off in the years ahead. And this year may not be the year we want it to be, but I still think it'll be a better year than we had last year. There were some guys last year that really competed hard for us, but I think the talent level from top to bottom is going to be better in that group. You think about Charlie Foster and Ryan McPherson, those guys coming back, and there's some other pieces out there that will probably take a jump this year, and then you kind of mesh them in with the arms you're bringing in. I think we are seeing the Phoenix rising in many respects. I think Mississippi State pitching will be among the best in the Southeastern Conference. Real quickly, before we get out of here, I'm trying to go watch LSU and UCLA. Arkansas ends Murray State's dream season. And America's team has been eliminated. The second team eliminated. Only six teams left playing baseball. But no hitter for Gage Wood from Arkansas. You know, and I think the big ballpark helps the pitching. But you've noticed the Arkansas offense has really not done a whole lot in its two games in Omaha. That's something to watch. I know they were the consensus favorite coming in. But that offense hadn't really traveled so far. And so it'll be interesting to see how this kind of emerges dynamically, because I think LSU and UCLA have enough pitching to make this thing kind of interesting. Arkansas has some interesting pitching too, but you know, when you get deeper into the bullpen, offense kind of rears its head a little bit. And I think Arkansas's offense right now, it's got to find a way to get going. You win 3-0 today, but the reality of it is you hadn't scored many runs. And maybe this LSU-UCLA game would be very significant. I don't know that LSU could survive coming out of the loser's bracket. UCLA may be able to. I think UCLA maybe have a little more depth. But it'll be interesting to see. So I'm going to get this show up. We're going to go watch a game, and then we'll talk again on Wednesday. Come float with us at True West Float Spa of Starkville. It's been an amazing month, the busiest month we've ever had. And thank you guys so much for that. So many kind comments about my lovely bride. I don't get to see her much these days, but nevertheless, I appreciate your comments. People are like, man, Steve, she's great. You know, that's why I married her. But that's been one of the fun parts of this, is to see you guys that know me so well have an opportunity to know my family a little bit better. And yeah, she's a rock star. I tell people all the time, she's never been in my shadow. She's always been the light to my path. Of course, it's 50% off jeanspage.com's annual membership right now. And go to dirtynoblebook.com. You get all my signed sports titles, plus When the Bottom Falls, right then and there. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.